Our canine companions. They bring us joy, they bring us happiness, they have so many benefits for our health and well-being, and they're just cute as can be. Today, in honor of National Dog Day, Eric and I are going to share a little bit of our dog journey and a few of the benefits of having a dog in your life. So if you do have a dog in your life, if you're thinking about adding a dog to your life, if you just want to hear about Kibo, the dog of all dogs, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Welcome to the Weekly Walk Podcast, the perfect podcast to take with you on a 30-minute walk. I'm Joyce, the pack leader here at 99 Walks, and each week my husband and co-founder Eric and I explore tools, tactics, research, and random stories to help you keep moving forward and creating a life you love.
Hey, Joyce.
Hey, Eric.
Did you know that I had shoulder surgery?
Why, yes. Yes, I did. Do you know how I know?
How?
Because you have talked about it for hours. No, that's not true. But you've talked about it every single day leading up to and following. We discuss it every morning and pretty much every evening. But you've been amazing.
And you know what happened the first night after the procedure?
I do know.
I slept in this chair. It was so uncomfortable, yet, but you know, it made me feel better.
What made you feel better?
Moose.
Oh, he's the best. What happened?
Moose came and slept at the foot of my chair, which was it's sort of out in a hallway, away from our bedroom, away from everybody.
Why in the world did you sleep in a chair?
Well, I had to sleep in a chair because you have to sleep upright after shoulder surgery.
For like weeks.
Yeah, so it's not great. But I slept in this chair and Moose came and kept me company. And he was definitely freaked out. Like he knew something was not right with me. And he came and comforted me just by staying with me all night.
Dogs are amazing.
So, did you know there's a whole National Dog Day in honor of them?
I did know that.
Well, I think there should be Dog Month. They're so amazing.
So, we have been dog people since we committed the great puppy caper of 1997.
Wow, 1990, I think it was 1998.
When we committed the great puppy caper? Oh, I think you're right.
Yes, so that was when we got Kibo, our first dog.
So you described it, I'll never forget, you described it as the great puppy caper because we went to pick up this dog and he was amazing. Like, Moose is a beautiful creature, but I do feel, because I talk to a lot of other dog people, and it's like you have that dog. It's like the dog of all dogs in your life. And I mean no disrespect to Moose, who's one of the sweetest creatures ever to grace our family. But Kibo was the dog of all dogs.
And we weren't even sure we were going to be able to have dogs because you are actually allergic to most dogs.
I am. And cats. Oh, dogs are... I'm allergic to dogs and cats send me right over the edge.
But this was I guess they call them hair dogs as opposed to fur dogs.
Right? Exactly.
There are certain, just a few breeds that don't make you allergy sensitive, I guess.
Yep.
So, yeah, so we got this little tiny puppy and brought him home.
Oh, gosh, it was amazing. So over the years, I don't think we knew all of this at the time, but over the years, because we tend to nerd out on research about all kinds of things. Walking and all kinds of things, right? One of our favorite expressions is there must be a book for that. Now we Google everything and read everything, so along with the books. Anyway, the research around the value of dogs to our well-being is, on the one hand, like extraordinary, and on the other hand, for people who are dog people, everybody's like, well, of course. Can I start with one of the things that is one of the great unsung values of having a dog?
Sure.
If you have children.
They are little Roombas?
They are little Roombas. And I remember thinking when our kids were young, how do people without dogs keep their kitchen clean? Because whatever the kids drop, and, you know, toddlers, there's a lot of dropping, the dogs just Roombaed right up.
Well, but there's a downside to that, because at some point, the toddlers discover the Roomba effect and realize that if they throw things on the floor, they can control the Roomba or the dog.
Okay, this so just there, brought there, back there, so many memories.
There is a stage when throwing food on the floor so the dog can lick it up is the most fun thing in the world for most toddlers.
There was a period of time we actually let our son feed the dog that way, feed Kibo that way. Do you remember? We would like give him a little cup of food.
I would let him throw it on the floor.
Uh-huh. What? Piece by piece. He would throw it piece by piece and control the canine Roomba. All right. So benefit number one of having a dog if you have toddlers is the Roomba effect.
The Roomba effect. I invented that.
You did invent that. It's hilarious. And it's so accurate.
So benefit number one, I think, is sort of my story around the comforting effect of dogs, which is just amazing, right?
There are studies that show that the act of petting a dog lowers your blood pressure, reduces your stress levels. It's really incredible.
Well, Florence Nightingale, we all know Florence Nightingale, right? The Civil War nurse, said that a small dog or pet is often an excellent companion to the sick or injured.
And what's amazing about that is people, hospitals, medical providers have begun to realize that and recognize that over the last couple of years, something that she observed hundreds of years ago. And therapy dogs are sometimes in hospitals. So I don't know if you remember this story, but years ago, I had the incredibly good fortune to tour St. Jude's Research Hospital. Which sounds like a weird thing to say, I had the great fortune, but it was and remains one of the most extraordinary places I've ever been. If you ever want your faith in humanity restored, go hang out at St. Jude's, because the work they do is unbelievable and the way they do it is unbelievable and spectacular. Anyway, my point is, the day that I was there, and I don't know how often they do this, but they had therapy dogs there. One of the things that they try to do is create as typical an environment for their kids as they can. And I remember these dogs walking around, and you know, the way a child's face lights up when there's a puppy in the room, it's just beautiful to see. So yeah.
Yeah, and we did that with Kibo. Remember, we brought Kibo to a facility for a day facility for mentally challenged adults, and everybody, you know, responded and loved him and would pet him and let Kibo give them kisses, and I mean, it was crazy. And Kibo actually got a commendation from our local congressman at the time. I mean, it was crazy.
He was the dog of all dogs.
He was quite a dog. Moose, cover your ears. You're good too. So yeah, I mean, there's so many studies around this, but one of the things that I found really interesting is that we talk a lot about the happiness hormones, right? You talk about them in your book and TED Talk and all that stuff. But when you interact with your dog, that causes you to release oxytocin, which is the happiness and bonding hormone. Isn't that crazy?
It's the love hormone.
They actually say that, like, gazing into your dog's eyes will release oxytocin.
Which is kind of a weird thing. I saw that research, and that's sort of a weird thing to me, because you actually have to be really careful when you gaze into the eyes of a dog, because dogs will treat that as aggressive behavior. So Don't go staring into the eyes of a dog that you don't know really, really well. Because, right, they interpret that as...
let's challenge.
Yeah, let's challenge. That was exactly the word I was looking for.
Let's rumble.
Let's rumble.
But I think Moose interprets it as love.
My point is you just have to be really careful. I remember when our kids were young, we actually had our dog before we had our children. And I remember people saying, aren't you concerned? Don't you ever get concerned about your kids and your dog? Because, you know, our toddlers and kids, they're pulling on the tails. They're doing all the things. And I always said, the only thing I'm concerned about is that our children will grow up thinking that every dog is like our dog.
Yeah. And parenting, dog parenting tip, one thing that I heard is the smaller the child, the bigger the dog. So if you have a small child, get a big dog. So
firing up that oxytocin and also reducing the stress hormone cortisol, which is an element of, I think, how it is, or the mechanism behind, one of the mechanisms behind which petting a dog helps to reduce your stress levels. I don't think that's all there is, but I think that's certainly part of it.
And the other thing that I found really interesting is that dogs have oxytocin too. So, like, when you're bonding with them, they're actually bonding with you.
Bonding with you.
I think Moose and all our dogs are well bonded with us. But I found that interesting. And even, I guess, you know, when I was just back from the procedure and Moose was comforting me and, you know, all that, like, it was comforting to him. And we were rebonding or reinforcing our bond.
That's so cute.
He's my dog. A boy and his dog.
A boy and his dog. So this will come as a surprise to no one, but people who have dogs tend to move more. And I just had this conversation actually with my friend Julie, who was here for the weekend, and she was talking about how to get a little bit more movement in her life and a little bit more walking in her days. And she does have a dog. And we were talking about the benefits of moving your body after a meal, walking after dinner, that sort of thing. And she texted me actually last night and at about, I don't know, 6:30 or 7. And she said, I'm out for an evening walk with Louie.
Yeah, that's great.
So dogs are insistent, and dogs can become really good at helping you build a walking habit. So if you teach your dog just through a little bit of repetition that after dinner you're going for a walk, your dog is gonna remind you.
Oh yeah. Lately I've been taking Moose down to the bay and we go for a little walk
and a little swim.
And I throw the ball for him. He goes for a swim. And every night after dinner, usually like right when we're done with the dishes, he gets this
look in his eyes.
Yeah, expecting look in his eyes. And he sort of knows it's not quite every night, but he's hopeful.
He's hopeful.
And you'll look at me, you'll be like, go take him for a walk. So that's what we do. And I get a lot of exercise in my right arm in particular from throwing the ball out into the bay with the chuck it.
Oh my gosh, what would have happened if you had had surgery on your right shoulder? There'd be no ball throwing. Moose literally just walked into the podcast booth right now.
Oh, I think
he
heard the word ball. So he just came in and he put his little face on my leg. So
exercise and walking routines. So dogs love routines as well, as much as we do. And one of the things that I actually always talked about I often talk about when we talk about the power of habits and forming habits is replacing perhaps a not so good habit with a dog walk habit. And one of the suggestions I make is take your dog's leash and throw it over the door so that when you walk in at the end of the day or whenever it is, instead of going straight to the giant bucket of chocolate chips, which is what I was doing, you see the dog leash and the dog looks at you, and instead of the chocolate chips, I would go for even a short walk.
Moose, if you open the door to the closet where we, our coat closet where we keep his leashes, I think we have a couple in there. You just open that door, he gets all, you know, excited. And then when you, when you jingle the leash, he goes off the chain, if that expression is appropriate. He's barking and jumping in circles and just ready to go wherever.
Wherever. And wherever we're going, he wants to come.
So in the car, to the beach, walking down our block, whatever. He's excited. So, yeah.
Another benefit or piece of research that they've seen around dog owners is that they have lower levels of cholesterol. And this is not necessarily cause and effect, right? Because it may just be that people who have dogs have lower cholesterol. But nevertheless, my suspicion is that regular movement, because if you have a dog, typically you're walking that dog a couple of times a day. So reduced levels of cholesterol, which is an indicator of heart disease.
And then I was just thinking, if you have that dog, probably every couple of weeks you're hefting that bag of dog food home, or those, that big thing of cans of dog food, you're getting that exercise. Does that count?
I think it does count, but I was chatting with my friends this weekend, and they're all dog people, and they all have their dog food delivered.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
I know.
What a concept.
I know.
Like, they deliver dog food? Do they deliver regular food to your house? Is that a thing?
I don't know. That might be a thing.
Yeah, we've just never gotten in the habit of that, but we digress.
My issue with that is always all the bags, and then you've got to be home and locked into this window of delivery. I don't know, but I know everybody loves it. But I actually have a food delivery service. It works great. I have this list on my phone, and I put things on the list that we need when we run out of, and then usually twice a week, the food gets delivered to the house.
Yeah, I think regular listeners may know that I'm the one that goes to the grocery store 90% of the time.
I went after your surgery.
You did?
Twice.
You went twice.
I went twice.
Wow.
Are you proud?
I am.
So, do you remember, I should ask it as a question. When I was living in the city and single, what I discovered is that single guys in New York City would sometimes go to the local shelter to borrow a dog to walk. Now, the upside of this is that dogs, most shelters, as far as I understand it, have a thing, I don't know what the word is, but a thing where people can come walk dogs because they want these dogs to be socialized. They want these dogs to be walked out in nature. So, like our local animal rescue fund, you can go walk dogs in the woods, which is amazing. But this was like a thing in the city. Did you ever partake in this thing?
I never did.
Do you know people who did? It sounds like a Scott thing.
This is exactly the name that popped into my head. It's 100% a Scott thing. And I may actually have a memory of him doing it.
And that apparently is a thing. Not just that people did it, but it works. There's studies out there that show that men who are walking dogs are more likely to get the phone number of a woman they meet in the park than without a dog.
That's crazy.
But it's, if you stop and think about it, I don't think it's just young single guys looking for girls' phone numbers. I think dogs, well-behaved dogs, and we can talk about this a little bit, but they're conversation starters. They're, if you're out walking a dog, people are more likely to stop and say hello and ask about the dog. It gives people a reason to start engaging.
Oh, 100%. Last night I had Moose. We're down at the bay. We're on the beach. There's a young family, a dad with a 1.5-year-old. And she was enthralled by Moose, just watching him splash in the bay. And The dad says, "What kind of dog is that? We're thinking of getting one." Da 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 da. You know, and I said, "What kind of child is that? I mean, how old is your daughter?" But we had a whole interaction that we would not have had without Moose to instigate that.
And now that you say that, that happens pretty much every time we take Moose down to the beach for a run and a throw. Because, well, watching Moose fetch a ball out of the bay is just... He bounds into the bay with so much joy after that ball.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder, and this is getting way in the weeds, but I wonder if... So Moose could be like a poodle. He's a Labradoodle, but he could be like a poodle. He could be a Portuguese water dog. He could be all, you know, all these different kinds of dogs. But I wonder if you have like a German Shepherd that is obviously a German Shepherd. Does walking that dog strike up less conversations because people don't have the ability to say, "Oh, what kind of dog is that?"
I don't think so.
No.
And I can say that with a little bit of confidence because our friend Margot has a German Shepherd. And what happens when Margot is with her dog, excuse me, is that people know German Shepherds, and then they have the opportunity to say, "Oh, what a beautiful German Shepherd," or "I had a German Shepherd," or "My uncle had a German Shepherd," or "They're so smart." So I think it sparks different conversation, but I think it sparks conversation.
So any dog will do. Good.
Any dog will do. I think any dog will do.
Any dog will do. So there's so much other like research. It's actually kind of shocking how much time and attention has been put into this, right?
Well, actually, you know what's even more surprising to me is that Florence Nightingale commented on it before all this research was done. Like, and this goes to something I talk about and think about often, which is what we knew instinctively to be true. Now there's research that supports it. So yeah, on the one hand, lots of time and thought, but it just seems to be showing things that we believed.
Yeah, and you know what is an interesting one is that older people or people of more advanced age, shall we say, with a dog have 30% fewer doctor visits. Isn't that crazy?
I wonder why that is. So I think that can be a combination, and I'm totally speculating, so take it for what it's worth, but I think that could be a combination of two different things.
Okay.
First is if you have a dog, research shows you are likely to get more exercise, have better health outcomes, right? That lower cholesterol, lower stress, lower cortisol, stronger hearts. So there's a physiological, chances are if you have a dog, you are physically doing a little bit better. So that's piece number one. But I wonder if part of it is piece number two, which is people with pets, and this isn't just dogs, people with pets are less likely to feel lonely.
Mm.
And I wonder if loneliness drives some of the, well, we know that loneliness drives negative health outcomes. That's a fact. But also kind of help you get out of your head a little bit.
Interesting. And just going back to the exercise thing, because we can't stress this enough, is that study out of England that showed that people with dogs were 4 times more likely to get their 150 minutes of exercise a week. 4 times more likely. Isn't that shocking?
You know what's interesting, and I don't remember that. This is the study I would like to see, and I don't know if anybody's done it, and I haven't found it. But is that cause and effect, or is that not? Meaning, if you take people who don't get that level of exercise and you give them a dog, does their exercise levels increase? I would think yes.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen studies on that as well. I didn't run across any for this podcast, but I believe I've seen studies around that as well. Give someone a dog and they're gonna move
more.
Yeah. And then there was the study with married couples where they found that married couples with dogs had lower heart rates, lower blood pressure. I thought that was interesting as well.
Wait, not just individuals, but married couples?
Yeah, even if you have a couple and you're in that relationship, both people will have lower heart rates, lower blood pressure.
You know, it sort of goes to that shared experience and sort of shared responsibility. Though I wonder if a dog can give rise to more conflict. Now I'm just thinking aloud, right? So a dog could give rise to more conflict, right? I always walk the dog. I always feed the dog. Why don't you blah, 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 right? Could give you something to fight about. But maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it is this shared responsibility. And if your relationship is solid, it gives you that shared responsibility. And if your relationship is not super solid, you're kind of forced to work through some conflict and work on your conflict resolution skills, which are critical to a good relationship. Is that making any sense at all?
A little bit. But, you know, it sort of leads to the next thing, which is, like, we are dog people, so and we are walking people, so we advocate getting dogs. But if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go get a dog, just be mindful that, one, it's a big responsibility, and one of the expressions that we heard early in our dog journey is, a well-behaved dog is welcome anywhere, and a poorly behaved dog is welcome nowhere.
It's a fact.
So we've worked pretty hard over our dog journey to make sure that our dogs are at least reasonably well behaved. They're friendly, they listen, they have, you know, basic commands, and
they don't jump. That's a big one.
Yeah, we taught them, and that goes to another thing, is never let your puppy do something that you wouldn't want them to do as a dog. So if you get a big dog, and when they're a 8-pound puppy and they jump up on you and jump on their hind legs, it's adorable. When they're 100 pounds, not so much. Even when they're 40 pounds, it's not so great for them to jump.
There's definitely, I don't want to say a downside, I guess there are downsides to having dogs. It is a lot of responsibility. And for me, and you don't have this as much as I do, but man, I suffer from doggy guilt.
Yeah, I just don't.
I know.
He's got a roof over his head. He gets his 2 square meals a day. He gets love. He's lying with us in the podcast booth right now. And, you know, if he doesn't get to the beach and get a exciting exercise expedition for a day or two or three, it's okay. He's got a pretty good life.
I know, but we're responsible for the quality of his life. I don't want him to have a pretty good life. I want him to have a wonderful life.
He has a wonderful life. So, well, you know, that doggy guilt is a motivator. You will often just walk out the door and take him around down our block, down our street. It's a nice 1-mile walk.
He loves that walk.
And it's good for both of you. So, yeah.
Doggy guilt is a good motivator.
doggy guilt is a good motivator.
So, any last thoughts on the value of a dog or the drawbacks?
Well, as dog people, I would certainly say that the value outweighs the drawbacks by a long shot. I mean, the love and the comfort and all that.
That's what I'm going to interrupt you for a second, because before you move off that, I'm curious your answer to this question. What to you is the single biggest value? I don't like the word value, but benefit of having a dog. What do you love most?
It probably goes around sort of to that oxytocin and hormones. And, you know, sometimes I will sit on the floor with Moose and just sort of pet him. And he loves to be massaged. So I will actually, you know, dig in and give him a little neck massage and massage his side. And he just loves it. And I think that releases the...
Well, not, but you're getting, you know, you're getting like... scientific, releases oxytocin. I'm not asking that. Like, what do you love most about having a dog?
I just love having him around. You know, it's just, you sort of get used to it, and it's this other being in the house, and it's just part, he's just part of our family.
So every now and then, and I've said this to you so many times, every now and then I look at Moose, and he's kind of like an animated stuffed animal, which of course I wanted my whole life when I was a child. Who doesn't want an animated stuffed animal, a live stuffed animal? But I look at him and I'm like, this furry little creature lives in our home and he's part of our family and he's part of our pack. And he's just this four-legged, sweet, silly, furry, warm being who lives in our house. Have you ever stopped and thought about how crazy that is?
Yes, I've stopped and thought about it because you've stopped me and made me think about it because you do bring it up every couple of months or so.
So everybody out there who is an animal person, whether you have a dog, a cat, a bunny, whatever it is that's living in your home and part of your family and bringing you joy, at some point today, I want you to look at that creature and think, this animal, this creature, lives in my home and is part of my family, and I love it to pieces. And just realize how extraordinary that is.